What have I got here? A megaphone. And can you see what it says on there? This is a police megaphone. What would a police use a megaphone for? They might make an announcement. They might say, "Come out. Come out of the building. We've got you surrounded. Come out of the building." Or maybe if it was at the sports carnival, if it was a sports carnival megaphone, the person might say,
"Everybody, come to the start line. The race will begin. Come to the start line. The race is about to begin."
That's a more fun one, isn't it? A megaphone. To make an announcement. To tell people, come. We just heard in the Bible that on the night Jesus was born, there were shepherds out in a field looking after their sheep. Can you imagine? Out at night, watching the sheep, in the dark. It was probably quiet. Then all of a sudden, an angel appeared, and the brightness of God shone around them. It was dark and quiet, and then all of a sudden there was an angel. You might be afraid if this happened, huh? Well, they were. The Bible says they were terrified. But what did the angel say? The angel said, "Don't be afraid. I've got some good news." It's like the angel was saying, "Don't run away. Don't go that way. No, no, come. Come on in. Come on closer. Come. Come and listen." It's like he had the megaphone and was saying, "Come, come, come on. I've got some really good news." And the shepherds didn't run away. They stayed and they listened. Imagine if they didn't listen. They would have missed the good news. It's like when a mummy has a baby and the parents want to announce the news. They get their phone, just like this one, might get their phone, and they might send a message to their friends and say, "Come, come, come and check out the baby. We've had a baby. God gave us a baby. Come on. Come and celebrate this good news." That's probably what happened when you were born. Your mum and dad might have sent a message to everybody saying, "Come, come, check out this beautiful new baby that God has given us." And the angel came to the shepherds on the night that Jesus was born and said, "Come, come, come and listen. You've got to listen. I've got some really good news." And the shepherds stayed and listened. Are you listening? Because the angel said that the news is for all the people. That means it's news for me, and it's news for you. But what was the news? We better listen and find out.
Thank you so much, David. So children especially, but actually all of us. Christmas is a message to us too, to you and to me. Come. Come and find out. Come and discover for yourself that God has come. Remember how our carol tells us, "O come, all you faithful." You ever thought about that before? Are you faithful? What does it mean to be faithful? Were the shepherds faithful? Who is the Christmas message for? Who is being called to come? If you notice in the Bible reading we heard, when the shepherds saw the angel, when they heard the message, they were terrified, we read. They were terrified. They knew that God had come right into their world. How would you react if God were to come in an unmistakable way into your world? Would you say, oh, at last, you've shown up. You've decided to reveal yourself. You've taken your time, haven't you? None of us would say that. We would be overwhelmed. We would be terrified. We would be really scared. Why has God come to us? Does God know really who we are deep down? He wouldn't want to come to us. And people every year make the same mistake about Christmas. Every year people think Christmas, well, really, it's for other people. Some people say, well, Christmas is for the children, really, isn't it? That's who Christmas is for. Or some people say, well, Christmas is for the families, those people who can get together and enjoy themselves. Other people get a little bit deeper. They're looking for a bit more of the message under all the Christmas trappings. And they say something like, well, it's for the elderly. It's for old people who like a bit of comfort and tradition and ritual at Christmas time. Or they say, it's for religious people, people who've got their lives together. God has come to give them a pat on the back and say, another good year. Well done. That's not what Christmas is at all. And if we think that, we've got Christmas entirely wrong. Don't think Christmas is for the faithful, those who have been good enough. Because actually, if that were the case, we might all miss out today. So let me ask you a question. Anybody in your household been cross this morning? Anybody been grumpy? Anybody snatched anything? Any sad scenes this morning in your household? There's still time. Anybody going to get grumpy cooking Christmas dinner or going to have a bit of a sulk because Christmas dinner's the wrong time? Or you didn't get a nice present? Or you spent a lot of money on somebody else who wasn't very grateful for your present? Deary me. Christmas is for miserable old us. Faithless us. Remember how the angel said to the shepherd that Christ had been born to you. Now try that for size with your heart and your life. Could Christ be born for you? I rather like the different version of O Come, All You Faithful, which goes like this. Come, all you unfaithful. Come, weak and unstable. Come knowing you're not alone. Come, barren and waiting ones, weary of praying. Come, see what your God has done. Christ is born for you. Well, the shepherds began to grasp that message, didn't they? That overwhelming and exciting message. Because they say in verse 15 of our passage, let's go. Let's go to Bethlehem and find out what has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They know something astonishing has taken place. So they get a move on. The shepherds, those people who were deemed not faithful, not trustworthy, they were the dodgy dealers of the first century world. The shepherds are called to go and find a lamb. I bet shepherds were looking for lost lambs all the time. This lamb was looking for lost shepherds. This Saviour is looking for faithless sinners, for you and for me. So this Christmas Day, Christmas is for you. Christ was born for you. Come and put your faith in him and discover him as the Saviour for all of your sins. O come, are you faithful? You who have put your faith in this miracle child, and be joyful and be triumphant. So we have had a scandal already in our Christmas morning in the Allen household. I discovered that for 48 years I have had crackers every Christmas day, and this year management decided we didn't need them. Now, you don't know who management is. There's no traceability in that comment. But it was a surprise. It was a surprise. Now, I'm not bothered in the slightest. I really am not bothered. Just surprised. You know the stuff that's always part of life, kind of assumes always going to be there? Well, crackers has surely got to be one of them, hasn't it? But here's the point. We know that crackers contain a world of exciting, intoxicating mystery. You never know what's in there. That's why they're so exciting. But you know two things. A really poor joke is going to be in there. But also, a crown is going to be in there. And children, you know, probably, mum and dad hate wearing the crown, don't they? They put it on and they grin and they try to look relaxed, but they're not relaxed. They don't like it. And they will slip it off normally before they finish their turkey. Why is that? I'm sure there's all sorts of reasons, but I think here's one of them. It's not that we just look silly. I think it makes us feel silly. Because in those moments, we're looking like a king or a queen. And we don't feel like a king. We don't feel like a queen. But this is the Christmas message. Jesus came not to make us look or feel foolish, but to make sinful people like you and me, to make us kings and queens. These ordinary shepherds doing this very routine job in the dark and the cold of the night, suddenly the Lord's angel, his messenger, appeared to them and gave them this astonishing message. And then in the words, sort of the words of Caesar, they came, they saw, and they were conquered. They came and they saw. Verse 16 of our passage in Luke 2, they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying on the manger, in the manger. So they came and they saw for themselves. It's not enough to hear the message of Christmas, children. You've got to go and discover for yourselves if it's real, if it's true, if Jesus has been born as your Savior. But they came and they saw, and they were conquered. That sight, that message grabbed hold of them. It grabbed hold of them. How do you know when something has really grabbed hold of you? Two ways you can discover. Firstly, you long to talk about it with other people. And secondly, you're full of joy. When something has grabbed hold of you, you speak about it and it affects you deeply, emotionally. So it's no surprise that when the shepherds have met the baby Jesus, verse 17, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. That's interesting, isn't it? It wasn't like, hey, we saw a baby and it was really cool. And we're really excited by that and we love children. No, they shared what they had been told, that a savior had been born. They didn't share the Christmas card picture of sweet baby Jesus. They shared the tough, challenging, but glorious message. We need rescuing. God has sent a rescuer. That's the message they shared, because it grabbed them and it filled them with joy. So our final verse says that the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. The God who spoke to them through the messenger that Christmas night was a God of truth. His word is always true. His promises are always real. And that is where our joy is this Christmas time. So come, all you faithful, joyful. Joyful because you have seen and heard and discovered for yourself the news, and triumphant because God has taken you in your sin and made you, simply through trusting in Jesus, a king or a queen. It was back in the 1520s that the Bible translator William Tyndale wrote a little book, no more than a pamphlet, called Pathway into Holy Scripture. And it's really a simple guide on how to read and understand the Bible. And he comes to this word gospel, the great Christian word, gospel. This is what he says. He says gospel is a Greek word and it signifies good, merry, glad and joyful tidings, which make a man's heart glad and make him sing, dance and leap for joy. Now, he says, now can the wretched man that knows himself wrapped up in sin and in danger of death and hell hear no more joyous a thing than such glad and comforting tidings of Christ, that he cannot but be glad and laugh from the bottom of his heart if he believes the tidings are true. Have you got a message, as we just sang a few minutes ago, tidings, news of comfort and joy? If you believe it's true, says William Tyndale, who gave his life for the truth of the gospel message, if you believe that Christmas is true, that your Savior was born for you, if you're trusting in him, you will, in Tyndale's words, sing, dance, and leap for joy. I would love to be in your home this afternoon if you take these words for real. Could we do that? Could we be those people at the end of such a tough year? I'm expecting that many, maybe most of us, won't be coming to Christmas Day feeling in any way joyful and triumphant. We'll feel exhausted and bowed down and careworn, because circumstances don't give us so much joy, where many of us are lonely, frustrated, anxious, and wondering what the future holds. And God comes to us in love and gentle power, and he reassures us. He's giving us his love, which outshines circumstances and which outlives them. And that will put joy in our hearts, that he knows and loves us, that we are safe in and with him. And the triumph is not our triumph. We don't come joyful and triumphant because of anything we have been or done or achieved. Far from it. But it's the triumph of King Jesus. He has come and he will come again to bring all who've ever trusted in him to live and reign with him in heaven. our circumstances, not this pandemic, not this lockdown, they will not triumph, not our sin, not our fears, not even death. Jesus will triumph. Just as he triumphed over our sin and death by his own death for us on the cross. So today, dear friends, come. Come full of faith. And discover and celebrate a Jesus who has triumphed for our joy. Amen.